Oh yeah, we're about to get nerdy with behind the scenes tech talk as it pertains to social media, video platforms, podcasting, websites, and more. So take off those pocket protectors. You won't need them here. Pour yourself a tall glass of Code Red Mountain Dew, get comfortable, and prepare to talk nerdy. After Hours starts right now.
What is up, crew? Welcome to After Hours. It is July 4th. It's Independence Day. So happy Independence Day to everyone out there. And speaking of Independence Day, we did a live stream earlier today talking about Peter Francisco. We pretty much do that every year in an effort to make people aware of who that dude was. One of my favorite figures, characters, whatever, of the Revolutionary War for sure. And there was several out in the chat that you've been doing that for, I don't know, 3 years now or maybe even longer. And there were several out there in the chat that I did not know until we did that. So that's always refreshing to see people learning new things. So tonight we're going to get nerdy with a topic that we've talked about this before. We've talked about different parts of this, pieces of this anyway, but I don't think we've quite ever laid it out in the format that I kind of want to do tonight. And what I want to talk about is the relationships that we have with different companies. And, you know, the title says it all from start to finish. So what needs to be done before we even try to pursue that? And then how do we try to pursue that? And then, you know, what do we have to offer once we've got their attention? You know, how do we broker that deal and finish up with making sure that they, you know, what they expect gets delivered. So that's what we're gonna kind of talk about tonight is the A to Z, as it was, of having a relationship with a company. Before we get into that, though, a couple things. I remember that we're live on the YouTubes simulcasting over on Gun Channels, and there is a chat, of course, over on the Gun Channel side as well. And speaking of those chats, we're always happy to field questions of the nerd persuasion, run those through the panel here, and get some opinions. And if you're in replay listening to this, then the comments below, well, heck, that's what they're for. They're to ask those questions, make those comments, and engage with everybody. That's what it's all about. So we'll run through the panel now. We may have a few more that jump in as time goes on, but for now, we've got a pretty good room. I think we can hammer this subject down pretty good. We've got Bloke in the house. What's up, Bloke?
Hello, Clover. How are you doing tonight? Happy Independence Day, everyone.
I'm doing great. Ghost is with us. What's up, buddy?
Hey, happy Independence Day.
Mr. Gizzard is with us.
Hey, thanks for the invite, and happy Independence Day to everyone.
Budget in the house. What's happening?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for the invitation, and I guess I'll join everybody else in wishing that all of you had a happy Independence Day.
And sneaking into the back of the class, we're going to make him sit up front, though, is Snob. What's up, Snob?
Hey, thanks for having me. You can take me being late out of my check for tonight, but yeah, happy 4th of July to everyone.
We dock a minimum of 3 hours, so you know. That's the way it works. So, just so you're aware.
Well, I'm going to owe you by the time this is done.
All right. So, I want to kick this off, and we've got a fairly small room, so I don't know that we even got to run this through the room. All of us here are pretty adept at having a conversation without having to rotate things through the room. But I want to kick this off because, you know, this is a question that I've gotten asked a lot. It's a question I see that's asked a lot. And that question is, you know, how do you get sponsors, you know, from companies? How do you get product review from companies. Basically, how do you start that relationship with a company? And my take on it is I think there's some prerequisites. I think there's certain things that you need to have in motion. And I don't, it's not number based, right? I want to throw that out there now. I don't believe you have to have a certain amount of followers or subs or anything like that, but I do believe that there are some factors at play that you need to sort of hone and polish and be sure of before you start branching out and making contact and all that kind of stuff. And that's where I want to open it up. I don't know if anybody else out there feels that way, but if you do, what are some of those foundational needs that you think your channel, your brand needs before you start to branch out? And that's anybody that wants to jump in.
Honestly, I think one of the best ways to start talking with companies and all that is have a base of reviews already. And it sounds funny, but if they go check out your site and you've never done a review, they're maybe a little skeptical. If you'll say, well, how can I do reviews if I don't have gear? Well, you already have gear, probably. You already have a couple guns. Hopefully you have guns at home, or you have holsters, or you have whatever. There's nothing wrong with doing reviews of products you already own just to get your basis and get your experience level of doing reviews. So at least you have some sort of a catalog before you start talking to companies.
I think that's a good one. Anybody else got one?
I mean, I didn't feel comfortable asking for anything until I felt like I had at least somewhat of a decent following. You know, I didn't ask for anything until I was at 800.
I'm not a fan of that approach. I'm not a fan of throwing that out there. I get the sentiment and the feeling of that. So I'm not admonishing you for that, but I'm just saying I had people sending me stuff long before I was 800, long before them. So, I certainly don't want people out there, and I know other channels that are the same way, have gotten, made relationships with companies long before. So, I certainly don't want people to feel that that's necessary.
And that was kind of just my personal preference on it.
I get the sentiment. That's a very popular sentiment, and that's why I wanted to address that right off the bat, that we're really not talking about numbers and stuff here, because, that's the number one thing people think. People think, oh, well, I don't have 10,000 subs or 5,000 subs or this, that, or the other. So, these companies aren't going to deal with me and aren't going to talk to me. And it's sort of like, honestly, what the problem, the way I view this, is like the pretty girl at the dance, right? Everybody's intimidated by the pretty girl, and nobody walks over there and asks her to dance, So she just stands in the corner all night. So, like I said, Ghost has a really good point, made a really good point about how, getting some stuff in the bank, getting some reviews and some videos in the bank based off some stuff that you already own. And, that's a very good way to do it. I will add that I think that having your brand down as far as is being polished, I think, is something that's important. I think there's a difference between I'm a small channel and I look like a small channel. There's a difference there. And I think that if you have a more polished appearance and approach to your channel, if you're doing all the things that we talk about on this show, if you're doing all these things right, then you create a situation to where they can see value, because they've dealt probably with, are currently dealing with bigger channels, and they can look at yours and go, wow, that content is as good as X, Y, or Z. The thumbnails, the artwork, the way they present themselves and they handle themselves on camera, the way that they, engage and all this. Oh, that's just as good as these bigger creators. So they see an opportunity at that point to get in maybe on a ground floor, and start that relationship. But what we're talking about, just for, first of all, G Webs, welcome, sir. Happy Independence Day.
Hey, thanks for the invite.
So what we're discussing here for I don't know if he was listening before he came in, is we're talking about building those relationships with companies, and we've kind of talked about that before, but I want to bring a flow to it, from A to Z, from before we make contact with the companies until we've made that, established that relationship, you know, and then, you know, what comes after that from A to Z. So what we're talking about now is the foundation. I mean, before you, are there some foundational stuff, G-Webs, that, and we're not talking about numbers again here, but are there some foundational things when it comes to your channel, your brand, your content, what you're doing, your attitude, your business plan, trying to think of different things anyway. Is there things that are likely better to be put in play and honed and polished out before you attempt maybe going after some of these relationships?
You're ghosting me with that question, with like a fire hose of question there. So is the thing about how to start, we're starting a relationship that is scalable. So you start with small relationships that have smaller obligation and less consequences, and then work your way up.
The question is, do you need a, before you even go for the smaller, are there any foundational needs that you see? Is there anything that needs to be, you think?
I think that when you're doing something as a hobby, it's valid. And when you're doing something as outreach or activism, it's valid. However, there's not as much obligation it's valid and there's not much obligation because you can always just stop, right? When you're doing something that has somebody else involved and they're paying you, well, you know, there might not be criminal, but there's certainly, you know, just scruples involved. So you'd want to make sure that you're able to fulfill some kind of obligation with them, not only for the end of that one in relationship, but, you know, the word will get around that you can't live up to your side of the bargain or whatever. So make sure that, you know, you're able to follow through with whatever it is you're going to be coming up with on that or that.
Right. And I think that will play into, you know, what the next little topic, the next step up, we're going to talk about is, before we move to that though, Budget Gizzard Bloke, you guys want to weigh in on any potential foundational needs before one might attempt to get such a review or establish a relationship with a company?
Sure. Make sure that the tone of your brand is one that is attractive to other companies. You know, make sure that your channel looks good. Make sure that it's professional. Make sure that you're not you're not dropping F-bombs everywhere. You're not, and though some companies might want that, might be okay with that, there's a lot that aren't. So you have to try to present yourself as a professional foundationally. And also, before you even start as a foundation, make sure that, I know you were talking about the pretty girl at the Dance Theory a little bit ago. Make sure you understand sometimes even the pretty girl who doesn't get asked a lot is going to reject you. And yeah, I'm talking to you, Ruger. I'm talking to you.
Right. Bloke, was you going to jump in there?
Sure, man. this is a business, you know, we love what we do. So you have to build a resume. When you build a resume and you go in for a job at, say, wherever it is that you work, McDonald's, hospital, you don't go in there with, holes in your pants and whatever else that doesn't look presentable for that particular company. So, you know, as far as them going to a new prospect, you know, all you are is a name with a picture. So when they connect your face with that picture, first impressions is everything. So I definitely believe in professionalism. You know, I've even gone and made a prospect letter or a proposal letter. It is professional, and it dictates what my expertise is. And I find that, not that I haven't had any real comebacks on it, but in the professional world that I do work in, I find that pointing out your expertise and advocating for yourself with confidence and being adaptable, I think those are good points, prerequisites before you go to a company. Know what you have to offer before you offer it.
Good one. Giz, do you have anything on it?
Well, I think you have to lay out the groundwork. You need to have a website. You need to be present and participate on social media as much as possible. If you're going to interface with companies, LinkedIn is a great place to have a presence. But you need to have a consistent presence to where you're presenting your brand in a positive manner, but where they can look you up and say, yeah, you interface with these people. You've got 300 followers here, 500 followers here. You've got people paying attention to what you say and what you do. So you've got the groundwork there.
Right. And Snob had said he had something to add. So take it away, Snob.
All I was going to say was one of the easy things that I felt like was an easy way to present yourself, you know, is being at like industry shows and having like business cards, stuff like that, looking professional when you're there, you know, and all that. I felt like was an easy way.
Kind of broke up. You still there? Maybe. No.
I don't think it was very professional of him to stop mid-sentence.
I know. I don't.
Did I die?
Yeah, you did.
Where did I die at?
I don't know. Just
start. You're talking about being professional and then just stops. Right. That wasn't very professional.
Well, I was just telling y'all to be professional. No, I was going to say, sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Foundation, a foundational thing before you start going after these companies, have decent internet. Okay. I mean,
apparently.
Foundational thing. Go ahead, Snob.
Says Clover. No, all I was going to say was like going to the industry shows and stuff, having business cards, you know, looking professional. Whenever you walk up to them, have some confidence in yourself. You know, and that stuff, even if, you know, you don't know what you're doing, just, you know, try to act like you do, at least around them being professional wise, you know, right. You know how to be professional anyways. Yeah. And that goes a long way, you know, and giving out business cards, stuff like that to them goes a long way to making quality relationships.
Right. Yeah, no, agreed. So we're going to move on. Before we do, we do have the chats up on the YouTube side and the Gun Channel side. And remember, if you're in replay and you're listening, you've got comments below. We do have a question out there that is a good one. Pete threw it out there. If I could find it here, give me just a second. Yeah, this ain't very professional, but he says, is there any reason to try to have corporate relationships if your channel has no interest in quote unquote products? He says he thinks he wants to be more of a 2A motivator channel. I want G to field this one first. What do you think about that, G?
I was chatting in the side chat. What was the question
again? He says, is there any reason he wants to, he says he thinks he wants to be more of a 2A motivator channel. And he's saying, is there any reason to try and have corporate relationships if your channel has no interest in quote unquote products?
Heck yeah, we're all industry. So yeah, for sure. You never know who's out there looking to sponsor or amplify something like that kind of message.
Right. Yeah. And you can always, you know, I'll add into that to say that you can always use those products as giveaway items, you know, and that could be a motivator thing. I mean, you're talking about you could pass those along even to, you know, other channels or other organizations, you know, in the 2A realm. Does anybody else want to field that question?
I got one thing to say on that, and it's kind of add on to that. Networking is a big thing in this industry. It's, you know, knowing people, because you never know who knows the other person. You know, from somebody from down the street may know somebody who works at Glock. You know, I believe in networking, and I definitely believe in getting out there as much as possible on the social media, because this is a social media platform. So I think that's really important.
Anybody else want to field Pete's question about, is there a need for company help when you're just doing 2A?
Yeah, I think that it's important to look outside the box. Is if you're trying to be a 2A motivator, and what happens 2 years down the road if you want to do a 2A capital rally or something like that, and you've got established relationships with companies, well, you never know. Let's say the Rugers or the Smith & Wessons of the world, you know, they know you and say, hey, I'm trying to do this 2A rally. Would you guys want to sponsor this? And maybe do a gun giveaway. And it sounds crazy to bribe people with a gun giveaway at a rally. But if you're trying to motivate people, you can't motivate if no one shows up. So if you utilize these companies, maybe sponsor and do stuff to draw people to that rally, then you have an audience to motivate. So I think that there's, if you think outside the box, yeah, you can use it very easily.
Good idea. Anybody else? All right, so we'll move on. So we've talked a little bit about foundational stuff here. So the next step up the ladder, I guess, is kind of the way I've got it here in my notes and I've been looking at it is, you know, once we've kind of got some of those foundational things sorted out, and we think, okay, we're in a good spot. We've got a little bit of a catalog. We've got a little bit of a polished look. Okay, let's start contacting some companies. Let's start reaching out. Let's start networking. The next thing that I want to talk about is what we can offer, right? Because it's Bloke mentioned it earlier with a proposal in it, and it fit really well into this next section. Is you have to start thinking about at that point, which I mean falls back to your foundation in a way, is you know what you can offer that particular company. So with what I want from the panel as we kind of go through here is as you've approached companies in the past and talked to companies, what are some of the things that you've talked about with them that you know you can do for them X, Y, and Z? Because I think it's really important when we approach these companies that we frame it in a way of what we can do for them and then let them come back. If it's a symbiotic relationship or it's going to be a symbiotic relationship, that's fine. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours type thing. But, you know, I think that we have to be the one to extend that olive branch and say, hey, you know, here's what I can do for you. And kind of put that apple or that carrot out in front of the horse, so to speak. Bloke, I'll let you start on this one. As far as when we start thinking about what we can offer those companies, what are some things that come to mind in your experience?
Sure. Like I was saying before, that resume. So I believe everybody has good qualities. And, you know, whatever those qualities are, whether it be smithing or research, I think that's what you have to present to these companies. Hey, listen, you know, I'm a great gunsmither, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, my background is I've got years and years of research with my degree. So that's my forte. That's what I'm using as an approachable manner to these companies. And, where people agree that you should start out small, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you should approach everybody you can because you never know who's going to, you know, bite. So, you know, when I present to them, you know, my first ideal is, listen, I'm a 2A supporter. I have a background in research. What can we do from here and see where it goes from there? But key thing there is active listening. Listen to what they're saying. Not always trying to get what you're trying to get over the table to them, because what you're trying to get over to the table then may not be necessarily the thing that they're looking for. So be an active listener in that area.
Right. Ghost, what about you?
Yeah, I want to piggyback on what Bloke said real quick before I go on to mine, if you don't mind. And I think that let's go back to the pretty girl at the dance. Let's go before the dance. If you need a day to the dance, you know, you're not just going to ask and put all of your hopes and dreams on one girl. I'd hope not. You know, sometimes you have to ask 10, 12, 15, 20 girls. Now, you don't need all of them to say yes. You just need one for that night. You just need one date that night. So I think that if you, like you said, I think he's right. Instead of targeting one or two companies, I think you have to understand, and I'm going to transition to mine, you have to understand what you're good at or what your channels focus on. or mission is. For me, it's concealed carry, it's training, stuff like that. So there would be no reason for me to go into skeet trap products for my channel. That's not what I do. That's not what I'm good at. And it's not really what my audience is. So I think instead of just trying to accumulate product, I think you need to find product that fit your niche, your mission, your channel's audience, your channel's mission. And then at that point, contact anyone and all of them you can and explain what you can do. And we've had this discussion before. It depends on the product. You don't want to oversell yourself. You don't want to undersell yourself. And that's kind of a trick. If you get a $15 Chinese red dot, you don't want to promise them a 4-video series on it. You want to promise them a 3 to 5 minute video on it to review on it. Now, if it's a rifle or a gun, then yeah, you're going to probably, you know, say that you can give them this and a podcast and a live stream and this, that, and the other. But understand what the value that you have value. It's not just the value of that product. You're bringing value to them. You're giving them a targeted audience for advertising and marketing their product. So don't oversell and don't undersell. It's that's where it gets real tricky.
Was that everything?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Gotcha. Stop. I'm gonna jump down on your end now. Let you address this when you've approached companies and you know been thinking about, well, what do you have to offer? How do you reconcile that?
Okay. I was in the middle of trying to make myself notes so I wouldn't forget everything, and then you called on me. So one thing is
I'll keep you on your toes.
Yeah. One thing whenever you do that is like Ghost said, you know, don't oversell yourself. That's you got to find there's kind of a tough point right there in the center, which is underselling versus overselling.
I always just walk in and tell them I win the internet. That's
right. Oh, okay.
So that usually works.
Yeah. He's just like, oh, I know him. Hey, no, I know G-Webs. I'm good. Right. But no, that's one of the biggest things is, you know, not oversell and not undersell. And, you know, cause you can very easily undersell yourself, you know. You get one thing free and you think, man, I'm just going to keep promoting this. And, you know, and really it's just a, like you said, a $15 red dot. It gets, you know, one video, one Instagram post versus a $400 gun or $300 gun may get, you know, three videos and a bunch of Instagram posts or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, something in my mind, a couple things as you were talking that I was thinking about is, you know, number one, it's about, you kept saying, you know, don't undersell, don't oversell yourself. And I think it, you know, a way I would put that would be realistic. Be realistic with what you have to offer. You know, embellish the stuff that looks like pluses, but the things that are maybe questionable, because Buck mentioned it, I think, there, where he's like, you know, you don't really know necessarily what this company or that company is actually looking for. So, you know, you kind of want to put everything out there and then just put emphasis on the things that you think may benefit that company more, but definitely be realistic with it. And I think with what you were talking about with those, totally agree. I mean, when we're talking about dealing with the cheap things, I mean, even if you're a small channel, yes, that can give you stuff to review, stuff to play with and all of that, but I think, and even some of the more expensive products, I think you've got to be careful. But something that comes along as you move up the line and you move away from, and we're kind of getting off topic a little bit here, but as you move outside the realm of the cheap Amazon products and stuff like that, and maybe some of the lesser known companies, and you start getting into more well-known companies, or maybe that company that you started dealing with, this happens, has grown, right? And it's a more popular company now. You're going to find a few things. You're going to find that's going to kind of pull you along as well, as far as those videos and posts and social media stuff and podcasts and the things that you do. The quality, I guess you could say, of said product or said company, it's certainly going to help, you know, the type of traffic and stuff you get. And that, I think that's where the symbiotic nature of the relationship comes into play in a way. Now, budget, I'm going to let you jump in here with you know, and we're on that same part of the little ladder here with what we are. When you start thinking about what you can offer these companies.
Well, I think Ghost touched on the most important thing that I try to focus on, and that's the fact that I can put their product in front of an audience that's targeted specifically at that type of product. You know, the name of my channel, Budget Guns and Gear Reviews, it's for high quality yet not necessarily low cost, but great value for the money products. And things like, well, Ruger, like as much as people want to malign them, High Point, you know, with their carbines and such, you know, I try to make sure that I let the company know that their product falls right within the type of things that my viewers are interested in, so that it's specifically targeted. It's not throwing it out at a broad audience. It's right there. These are the people that are your customers. So these are the people that you really want to have that product in front of. And then, of course, you know, I make sure I let them know all the social media platforms I can put their product out on, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you throw out everything that is relevant to the product and to the company that you can do for them.
Now, G-Webs, I'm going to come over to you in the side chat. You had a couple of good points there, so I'm going to let you touch on this real quick.
I guess I was just going to say, if your project, if you're starting out or if you're trying to establish these, are you going to take whatever comes along? And if you do, how do you fit that into your, you know, how do you fit that brick into your wall if you're making a project? Or do you look at it ahead of time and pick things that lead you to where you're trying to get? Like, okay, this company knows this company, and I can probably get a hold of this company, so that'll get me to where I want to go.
Right, kind of like almost like a scavenger hunt in a way, I guess.
Well, I'm just, I guess, I'm thinking deliberate as opposed to drift, right? Letting stuff come to you, or do you go pursue it?
Right, right.
You only have so much time to work on stuff, and if you're going to, I think it was when Ghost was talking about doing a cheap red dot, I was thinking, yeah, and then what happens when you put up a video of a cheap red dot? I mean, if your audience is people that buy $20 stuff, that looks like expensive stuff, is your overall plan to stay in that realm? Those people may, you know, they're here and they're gone. You don't get relationships with those kind of companies. They only last for so many years. And there's nobody that's like, you can't be an advocate of it because, you know, it's gone. The mounts are gone. The electronics are gone. You have to sacrifice them and move to the next thing. So that means you need to be fluid and go to the next company, and the company that replaces the one that came before it doesn't necessarily have a good relationship. So it doesn't, you know, if you're looking at it long term, you know, are you looking at building a project that works with the industry and the way the companies work together? Or are you looking to, if you did a flashlight focus thing, for example, real quick, you're going to find out that there's just not that many flashlight companies, and they don't necessarily all want to. They don't all work with everyone, right? So, you know, if you're going to look to work with one, I don't know, that's a different plan for a project than just trying to do a light company and then finding that out, you know, 3 months, 3 years into a project that, oh, wait a minute, I can't eventually get to where I originally wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think you hit on something there earlier that was something I was thinking about is, you know, when you said, you know, does it fit or can you do it? And so that's where I know I've run into that, and probably, you know, several, if not everybody on the panel, a lot of people out there listening has probably run into this before, where you've had a company that's contacted you, and that's going to happen, especially with, you know, new companies, startups, Amazon, you know, stuff like that. And they contact you. I've even had this happen with a larger company that, you know, the offer was there to be able to get product, but I did not have time to fit anything in. in what I felt was a time frame, you know, that would have been fair to them. You know, there was just so much on my plate already. And so, you know, that's a good point too, is we've got to, we got to be careful that we don't, you know, it's okay if we're trying to build that resume, build that catalog, build that library, then okay, it's okay to pick up the small, the cheap stuff here and there. But as we start getting into more quality stuff, we've really got a way. It's okay to get some cheap stuff in my mind every now and then, because you could have some fun with it, if nothing else. You can make that a fun video where you're just trying to destroy something. And but you certainly don't want to sacrifice that, you know, taking on that when you've got other, you know, larger companies, especially when you consider what we were talking about earlier with Snob, that, you know, those better, more recognized brands and recognized products are going to end up getting you more traffic and kind of help grow your projects a little more. Before we jump here to the next rung on our little ladder, I want to bring Gizzard in. I don't want to Gizzard on this one. So as far as your thoughts, you know, when you're looking at a company or whatever, your thoughts on what you can offer them. Is there any, you got anything to add to the conversation here, Gizzard?
Well, I'm kind of a small time and a slow growth channel compared to most of you. In fact, I'm probably one of the only people who didn't get a free Olight this year. So, you know, but
nope, you're not.
I turned it down.
But same now, most of my relationship with other companies have been at Wanamaker, obviously, where I've interviewed them there. But as far as, you know, sending products and stuff like that, I haven't been involved in that yet, nor have I really actively pursued it. I'm certainly open to it. Taurus, you got my email. So anyway, but I think what you can do, especially what I do at Wanamaker, what most of us do at Wanamaker, is you offer the opportunity to get a company's products in front of a camera to where people can see them. And it's a symbiotic relationship. Because, and I'm sorry about all the explosions going on outside.
They're happening here too. So,
but, you know, you're getting the views out of it. They're getting the exposure and the views. And, so in that case, it's really benefiting both parties. But as far as, you know, products and stuff, I haven't gotten to that point yet, but I'm certainly open to it. But I haven't had the takeoff like a rocket video like a lot of you guys have, or just a huge number of followers. I don't have that quite yet. I've just got past the 500 YouTube subscribers thing, so I'm just now getting into that territory where I can start thinking about things like that.
Right. Well, I don't want to, again, I don't want to, I certainly don't want to focus on numbers or anything like that. I think everybody here, Gizzard, knows that you certainly transcend that 500 sub mark. But I will say this, about 500, and anybody else here that's of course over 500 can chime in on this, because I think it's important to note, but at about 500 really is where things started to kind of, the wheels started to kind of turn with me, was around the 500 mark. So, just keep doing what you're doing and you'll be fine. So
that's, is everybody, can I do a thing?
Yeah, you can go ahead and jump in if you want to. We're supposed to move to the next little.
When you're talking about not needing to have size, you don't need to have size. I mean, Gary said he hasn't had a video go viral. You don't have a video go viral because of the size of your channel. A video doesn't go viral because of your subscriber base. A video goes viral for all kinds of other reasons. So you can attempt to create viral videos, and that's a way that you could go to an entity and suggest, hey, I'm attempting to build viral videos, and here's my strategy to do so. Would you like to be involved? And you know, you can lead a horse to water, right? You can't make them drink, but as long as you're talking to another business person, you say, hey, I have a realistic plan here, and I'm going to put some stuff out there. Would you like to bait the hook and let's see if we catch any fish? know, you know, and then you have a reasonable expectation on both sides, and then you build a project to that. And you don't, again, you don't viral videos can just happen, but you can easily, there's examples of big channels that deliberately attempted viral videos, and you keep attempting it long enough. I think Snob said something about luck or something earlier. That's 99% perspiration, right?
Yeah. No, indeed. So we're going to jump over to the next little topic in line here. Before we do, just a reminder, if you're out there on the YouTube side or the Gun Channel side, then those questions of the nerd persuasion are welcome. If you're listening in replay, don't forget the comments are below. You can always throw your questions or thoughts into there as well. So moving on up, we talked about our foundations. You know, we've talked about, you know, things that we can, you know, ponder, the things that we can offer the company. So at that point, I think we're ready to maybe start branching out, actually doing the network, networking, if I can talk, actually branching out, doing the networking, contacting these companies. So that's what I want to talk a little bit about here. And I think for most of us, the answers here may all be pretty doggone similar. So we should be able to run through this one pretty quick. But as far as once you kind of have all those ducks in a row, you know, you've got those foundations, you've got everything kind of where you're confident in your brand and your channel and what you're able to offer and all of that. Where do you take it as far as reaching out, as far as networking? Budget, we'll start with you.
I'm sorry, I was kind of pulled away by work for a second. What was the question?
Once you're ready to start approaching companies, you know, where do you go? What do you do?
Well, two approaches. First is through the trade shows. You know, the USCCA Expo, through the NRA meeting, you know, places like that where you can go and face-to-face, because I'm a firm believer that face-to-face is way better than trying to do something over the phone or over email or whatnot, because, you know, it's more personal. And if you form that personal relationship, you know, it's a lot more impactful than just a voice on the phone or, you know, words on the screen. But barring that, then, you know, you find out who their social media people are, you find out who their marketing people are, and you contact the social media and marketing people to try to make that connection. Another good place is if you are in affiliate marketing, you know, go through the people that manage their affiliate program. I have an upcoming interview I'm going to do on Monday with Valley Food Systems, and that came about through being an affiliate marketer theirs. I found out that they are just up the road from me in North Canton. So I suggested, hey, why don't I come up and do a behind-the-scenes video of, you know, show your warehouse and what you do and let you guys explain it, because you can explain it better than I can. And they're like, great. As a matter of fact, I had to cancel the first appointment I had to do that. And they're like, let's set up another one. So, you know, I think that is that's a good way to go, too, is through the affiliate marketing people.
Yeah, that's one that people often overlook, is the, you know, once you get into the affiliate marketing side of things, that certainly does open the door, because at that point, you know, they know that, oh, this guy is going to create content, he's going to put links in there, that's going to make his money directly. So it's not a matter of, you know, well, okay, they're going to watch the video and then they may go to the website and then they may go down and buy something from a retailer somewhere. You know, that's a lot of times that's a direct sale thing.
Don't let anybody discount anybody's efforts as just maybe, because just like a billboard, there's value in getting a logo, a brand, a store name out there. And you're doing it at a, you know, an extremely low price compared to some other ways. And again, like Ghost said earlier, super focused, right?
Yeah. Now, Gizzard mentioned, we'll bring you in, because you mentioned a way earlier that I've had some decent success with. And that was LinkedIn.
Okay. So, and there's not a whole lot of 2A creators out there on LinkedIn, but it's a place where a lot of businesses interface. So if you want to be in where you can communicate with different executives or marketing reps of different businesses and stuff like that, it's a great place to be. So
yeah, and reconnaissance, you know, when, you know, there's the shows like Budget was talking about, you know, if you're over there on LinkedIn and you've already kind of established those relationships and been poking around, then a lot of times, I mean, people move on, you know, people move up and down the corporate ladder and people may move, you know, change jobs or whatever. That happens. But, you know, a lot of times it'll say that, you know, so-and-so, the marketing person for SIG, or so-and-so, the marketing person for this company or that, right? And then when you go into these trade shows, if you have that, have some notes with that, if you've done some reconnaissance, and sometimes you can find that info through websites and other things, but if you've done that reconnaissance, then you know, you kind of know, you don't have to walk up and just ask for the marketing person or the social media person. You already know who that person is. You can walk up and say, is Dave here or is John here? You know, or, you know, hopefully you'll read the name tag of the person you walk up to and realize that that's who you need to talk to.
Yeah. And that can be valuable just to know people's names and.
Right. And they know, you know, and that's a situation to where most people are going to walk up and they're going to ask for the marketing or the social guy. When you walk up and ask for a name, it's like, oh, this dude already knows, you know, it's like, okay, well, have we already worked with this guy before? You know, I think there's going to be things going on in their mind. You set yourself apart with that. Ghost, I'll let you jump in on this, on when we start to approach these companies.
I mean, there's so many different things that you can do. I think that honestly, be genuinely interested in the product. I think that these companies, and especially the marketing and advertising and social media directors, get requests. I mean, thousands of requests sometimes a week. And they can tell if someone's genuinely interested in the product or if they're just wanting free stuff. And if you're just wanting free stuff, understand that there's value to try to ask for it, and you might get a nibble here or there, but don't get upset. If you really are trying to build a relationship, obviously go into SHOT, NRA, USCC, these different shows, and get to know them personally, having phone conversations with them, having emails back and forth, you know, I mean, you have to build a relationship before you try to, you know, ask them out on a date or whatever. I think that you have to be genuine about the product and you have to build that relationship, because if it's a relationship, then it's not just a product and a content creator. It's a relationship at that time. And especially maybe some of the smaller companies, I think that if you're able to grow with that product, if it's a new product and you're a new channel, growing together could reap benefits down the road, because you don't know where that marketing director is going to be 5 years down the road. You know, you and I have a good friend that started out at one company and is now with another company. And, you know, our relationship with that person is going to extend no matter where they go. So I think the relationship is important.
Yeah, more than one. Chris did the same thing.
That's true. That is true. Yes, that's true.
I asked you guys to talk about that. I left your websites.
Do what, G?
I thought you guys were talking about me. I asked you guys not to talk about that on air.
Oh,
well, see, you have like 11,000 different things. So, yeah, we've got an in with 11,000 different projects, you know.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, 500 different websites. Now, Jason's got he's got a good comment out there, and I'm going to bring that in here in a second. Jason, I'm going to finish running through the panel, though, since it's kind of fresh in our minds. Bloke, I'll let you kind of chime in. I don't know how many companies you've started to approach and branch out to, but what's your take on, you know, some of the best ways to approach these companies?
Well, like most of the rest of the panel, I think being genuine is key here. people can sniff it out. Like everybody else said, you know, these people are getting thousands of requests via email or Instagram. I'm trying to approach a company now that I have a meeting with tomorrow. And, in preparation for that, it's like going for an exam. You study for that exam. You try to know everything about that company as much as possible that's relative. And, get to know the people on their bio or visit the websites. Check them out, because usually it says about us on the website. And I read all of it, and I take notes, and I study. And even the product that I would like to review, it's the specs and everything like that. It's important because if you don't bring anything to the table, then nothing's on the table to eat. So I think networking here is really important. Maybe this company won't work out tomorrow, but maybe in 6 months that guy's like, remember that guy bloke? He knew a lot about this particular thing. Let's give it a try now. So I think that's really important.
Now, have I gizzard anybody? I know I probably have because I've been jumping around. If I gizzard you, just jump in.
I think you gizzarded me, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so. Probably. Go ahead. Approaching companies. That's what we're talking about.
And stuff. I think that's a very good point. But at like KD's event that I was at, the guy from Proper was there, Dave. Anyways, and he was talking about the amount of emails he gets and stuff. And he was talking about, people that have channels, and they'll be asking for, tactical stuff. And there'll be someone basically like me that's not tactical in the least. I have no interest in doing, range pants or anything like that, tactical pants. And he says there's tons of people, it just seems like all they want is just stuff. So don't just want stuff kind of deal. Actually have a purpose, for what you're
a project in mind.
Yeah.
Or what I'm going to do with this. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's an approach. I mean, that goes back to the what we can offer thing a little bit and where, G was talking about, have your plan in mind and all of that. That's definitely something. Now, when a company reaches out to me, that's one thing. When I'm reaching out to a company, usually I have a thought process in mind. It's like, I see a trend, going on, and it's not a huge trend, but it's a trend nonetheless. And it's like, wow, I think I may be able to get some exposure for this product or be able to do something within the confines of these hashtags that are going on, or something like that. And so, I bring that to a table, and it gets back into the research that bloke was talking about. All great points tonight, I think. That you come to them and you say, look, if you can get one of these in my hands, I think that we can do well with promotion because I've been following some trends on this, that, and the other, and you don't want to give away the farm, because they may have some in-house media and they may just dismiss you, but you got to be able to sell it, and that's one thing I don't know that we've talked about too much so far with the things we've talked about previously, but whether it's a hobby or a legit business, you still have to approach it, I think, from a business mindset, and part of that is being able to sell, and when we're talking about that, we're talking about selling ourselves, not our souls, but at least our brand. Now, I want to get on to what Jason mentioned out here, because this is something that, we're talking about from a creator perspective here. We've talked about so far. We haven't really dived into, the viewer, the follower side of things, the supporter side of things. But he makes a great point out there, and it's something that I occasionally will say something to somebody very, very rarely do I do it, but I do. And what he's saying is, we should be contacting companies after we, and he's talking about, like I said, viewers, followers, after we watch these reviews and show some interest or ask questions. And that's an interesting premise. And that's something that I know with companies that I have a really close relationship with anyway, and it probably shouldn't be, it should be the other way around, that I'll ask people if they're like, I had a guy the other night on Facebook, I was talking with him, and he was talking about he just got a Ruger Mark IV, and he was asking me, you know, do I get parts from Volt Court Center? Do I get parts from this company or that company, or, you know, Tandem Cross? And everybody knows I've worked for years real closely with Tandem Cross. And I'm like, you know, honestly, you know, some companies make parts you're going to want and some don't. I said, so, you know, at the end of the day, get the parts you want, you know, first of all. I said, but if, you know, I told him if various companies made them, the ones he had listed, I'm like, you know, I would go personally with the Tandem Cross. And he's like, oh, great. Yeah, I've looked at your stuff. I like it. And I'm like, well, you know, if you do, tell them I sent you, you know. And so I think that's, in a way, what Jason's getting at out there is, you know, and I want to, I'm just going to open this up and one of you jump in, right? This is going to be free for all mode. But is, do you see a value in that? Do you see a value in the people that are out there that are watching, that are listening? If they really want to help a channel and support a channel, is that a valid approach for them to contact a company and say, hey, I was watching this review on the Ghost Tactical channel over on YouTube, man, and I'm really interested in this product. Can you tell me X, Y, and Z? Do you think that holds any kind of weight?
I would say that would hold massive weight to me.
Anybody else?
Yeah. Go ahead, Blue.
I think when you're doing a review and somebody mentions your name to the company, you know, depending on the company, obviously. But if it gets back far enough, and they, you know, they're the ones that actually contacted you, or you contacted them, and you know, you they sent you that product, I think that shows a lot of value. That's it.
Okay, Ghost.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. I think that is something that if you're truly interested in a product because a review you saw on someone's channel and that actually gives you the thought process of looking into that, then absolutely. But you know, don't do it just to do it, because that could be detrimental. Once again, these people are smart. These people have seen it all before. They can know when crap is crap. But I tell you what, just as important as anything is I've actually, you know, have conversations with manufacturers sent me guns or whatever, and they love seeing the comments on a video instead of them emailing. They don't do it all the time, but they will see comments every now and then. They'll say, hey, I saw that like three or four people let you know that they just got their gun. And that's awesome too. So not only maybe emailing, but yeah, even leaving a comment on a video saying, hey, thanks for the heads up. I just bought mine. It'll be here next week. And I'll always say, hey, let me know how you like it. And a month later, I'll get another comment on that video. Man, I just put 500 rounds through it and it's awesome. Don't think that they don't watch that stuff. They may not have time to watch it all the time, but every now and then, they might go and check the comment section. So that's just as important as an email as well.
Well, that's true. And there's another component to that, you know, as far as asking questions, and I get this pretty regular, and that's why I know that it's a thing, is I'll get questions about the product. And it's questions that I don't know. It's whether I've done a podcast or whether it's a review or whatever it might be. And it's something that I don't know the answer to. And I'll go in search of it, but more often than not, if I've got any type of a relationship with that company, and I've done this before, I'll contact the company, or I'll call, you know, pick up the phone or text or email or whatever, and I'll say, hey, I got a question on the video I did, X, Y, and Z. You know, what's the answer to this? You know, and then I'll go back and I'll answer that question in the comments. I'll say, hey, you know, I got with, you know, company XYZ and they said this, right? So I'm contacting the company. It's not that the viewer is, it's that I'm contacting them and letting them know that, you know, I'm bringing up questions. And then on the flip side of that, I've had companies actually contact me. I've got texts before that they, for whatever reason, they didn't want to get involved in the comments. And I don't know if that's a policy thing or if, you know, what the deal is with that some of the time, but there would be a question in the comments, and it happened. I was out doing stuff, right? And somebody posted a comment, and it just happened. So happened that somebody with that company, apparently, like you say, Ghost, was apparently looked at the comments or something, and I would get a text, and it'd be like, I'd be like, why are they telling me that this certain ammo is, you know, there's something with it that causes an issue with whatever. And I'm like, what in the world? and then I check my notifications for YouTube, and I've got a question that I've got the answer before I ever seen the question, if that makes sense, you know? And so I never even had to contact them. They sent me the answer to that question. So, yeah, it's a valid point with using the comments as well, for sure. And I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for everybody else, but I know that I don't get nearly as many comments as I would like to get. And that's a whole other thing. But on this issue, is anybody else on the panel with viewers, you know, maybe if they're really interested in that product, doing a mention if they contact the company to ask questions or order or whatever. Any thoughts on the validity of that approach?
Well, I've got just kind of another approach that kind of comes from G-Webs almost. You know, if you do buy something because of, you know, say you buy something because Ghost reviewed it and you liked it, you know, snap a picture if you're on Instagram, throw it on Instagram, tag Ghost in it, say, hey, you know, thanks for showing me this item, and tag that company in it. That's a huge thing that they will see, you know, and it's an easy way to do it too. If it's something that interests you and you actually bought it and stuff like that, and you're interested in doing that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So we'll,
you actually misunderstood it. You're supposed to, whatever it is you buy, you're supposed to tag that and say that I sent you over there.
Yeah. Always G-Web's always sent.
Yeah. Never Ghost. Never Ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just a, an agent of G.
Agent of, yeah, we gotta get a.
I'm part of the G unit, you know.
The G unit,
Ghost gear, you know, gun. It's all the same.
Or the G force unit. Either way,
is Gizzard in there too?
Right. I think we're all in there at this point. So, what I want to do is I want to move around. We still got two little steps here to work on. I think we'll get it done in our normal time. Seems like for this show. But for everybody out there on the YouTube and the Gun Channel side in the chat, yeah, thanks for hanging around. We're still here. Still got a couple things we need to hit on and talk about. So, yeah, we're going to move on. Now, once we've done all the steps, I keep, you know, retracing these steps a little bit. Once we've got those foundations, once we know what we have to offer, once we get the approach down and we know how to approach these people, Then it gets into, and we hit on this a little bit, but we, you know, there wasn't a lot of specificity on it. Once we get that relationship started, once we break that ice and make those connections, what are some things that go into actually brokering the deal? And what I mean by that, I don't want to muddy the water with this too much, because G-Webs will accuse me of being Ghost. So the question is, you know, what are some things we do to broker the deal? And what I mean by that is, do we talk about, you know, multiple videos, getting videos, you know, done for a certain project? You know, some of the things that we hit on, but I want to get specific. We may have missed a few things. Let's start with Gizzard. Just go around.
Okay. Can you restate the question again, please?
Once we've made all the contacts and everything, what are some tactics? What are some things that we use to actually broker that deal, to make that deal happen, to solidify that deal? Other than paying them. That doesn't count.
No, I'm not sleeping in Snob. I was actually over on another website making a purchase. But, I'm not real sure I have an answer for you.
Well, I mean, it may be a case, you know, there may be those of us out there that up until this point have never had to worry about brokering a deal. We kind of make that relationship and it's just happened. So, I mean, that's valid too.
And that's pretty much, yeah, I probably am not to that point yet.
Right. Ghost, what about you? And I know that you and I had spent a lot of time out with, in the smoking section at SHOT Show. And there was some deal that what I'm talking about with this, there was some deal brokering going on, you know, especially with me and the Alien Gear guys. It was like, you know, hey, we're going to get you this and we can get you this, you know. And I was like, well, okay, but you know, I need X, Y, and Z, and I can do this with my project and that sort of thing. So as far as sealing that deal, you know, brokering that deal,
what is I think a lot of it is it's most of it is done in the first three or four steps before you even get to that. Mm-hmm. It sounds bad, and maybe I've just been lucky for the most part, is most of that has just kind of been fluid. It just kind of happened. As far as sealing the deal, it's after you had discussions and you've seen them at three or four different shows and you've been back and forth with phone and emails. At some point, you're going to have to make that move, right? So I think that's what you're talking about, is how do you make that move? And you just sit there and say something like, hey, you know, we've been talking a lot about this. I've got this project. I think you're probably going to be great for it. I think it'd be beneficial for both of us. And I wouldn't talk terms or anything. I'd just say, hey, would you be interested, or would the company be interested in going through this journey with me and see where it leads? And I think if you base it on a specific maybe project or a specific item that you're looking for a specific reason, instead of saying, hey, I want to get your product and review it. Well, they've got 100 people getting their product and review it. But if you can make it saying, hey, I really think that this gun here is a great option for, it would be an interesting option to test for concealed carry or for this or whatever. And my audience is like that. Is this something you guys would be interested in taking a journey with me and see where it goes? If you start putting specifics out there instead of just a generic review, but you start talking about something specifically that you want to do with it, I think that helps.
Yeah, I mean, my mind goes back to, and I had a conversation over this with G-Webs, where it was like, okay, this, it was thrown out there, and this deal was looked like it was going to happen. It looked like it was a no-brainer, and then all of a sudden there was some weirdness going on, and I was like, well, okay, what's going on with this? How do I approach this? You know, to close this out and to make sure, you know, the deal is solid. And I called G-Webs, and we talked about it, and she gave me some good advice. And yeah, basically it's what you said, Ghost, just being blunt. I mean, coming back and saying, hey, we talked about X, Y, and Z, you know, when are you going to send me that? You know, basically, have you got anything to add with, you know, solidifying that deal, brokering that deal, making sure it goes through?
There's no rule. So it's just like any business. You can do it a billion different ways. You want to know who you're dealing with and what your overall goals are. So it depends where you are too. You know, Gary has probably a different set of circumstances than Snop, you know, with the number of shops available to him or location to manufacturers or something, but also be creative. You could imagine if you worked with a range that was a volunteer range, and you did something with them where, you know, you put out a thing in their next newsletter and said, everybody who's interested in explaining your interest in firearms with this guy who's documenting the range. And then you have a project, and now you're doing a documentary on this local range. And now you're going to gun shops with, you know, an actual project. You could send out emails. You can have some cards made up and send them out to shops all around. And, you know, you could literally send cards just like somebody would with a taxidermy shop or something like that. And just, you know, say, hey, I'm a channel on YouTube, and if you're interested in figuring out what that's all about or sharing what you do or getting some relationships started with advertising, here's my number. And, you know, send out cards like that. People, you're in a different time than when I was playing this game of having initial relationships when I was little, because the internet was still little then too. So it was, hey, you remember how you always do advertising on bus stops and on the newspapers and on, you know, radio and all these other things? And now there's this internet thing that hasn't been proven yet, but I'll bet you it's going to be pretty good. You want to advertise on there? And then all, of course, a bunch of get rich quick and people getting burned on the internet with get rich quick internet ads type of thing. And then there was probably a dead time there. Clover, I'm sure, is used to it, where nobody would advertise on the web because they only heard horror stories. Then after a while, people started to figure it out. Now, again, you got to miss the whole YouTube being a thing. Now people understand what a YouTuber is. So if you have a nice looking thing with your logo and color and a offer to either do a tour of the shop or an interview with them or review guns with them, as you send something out like that, I wouldn't be surprised if you sent that out to 10 shops, if 3 or 4 of them or more wouldn't be looking, be like, wow, let's figure something out with this guy. And if you had 3 or 4 shops like that, I think you could probably figure out a way to go full time. If you had 3 or 4 shops that were willing to throw a portion of their advertising money to you and you could help them out, then that's a way to start brokering it.
Right. Yeah.
But there's so many ways. This is business, so there's a billion ways. Look at what they're missing. Look at what the other shops don't offer.
No, I got it. Budget, going to jump over to you now.
And what's the question? I just walked back in. I had to go do some work.
Well, once we've made contact with these companies, we've laid all the groundwork, we've done everything, we start, we lay out what we have to offer, our projects and all of that, as far as, getting that final yes, right? How do we solidify the deal? How do we solidify the relationship at that point?
Well, I think the most important thing to do at this stage is lay out what each party expects. Mm-hmm. Set clear goals for this collaborative project, because that's really what we're talking about. They're putting a part of it putting something into the project. You're putting something into the project, and you're working together to collaborate on it. So we need to know at this point what is expected from each one, what the timelines are, what a satisfactory result is. For instance, I'm kind of negotiating with a guy right now who wants good reviews, and I keep telling him, listen, I'll write good reviews if the product's good.
Good product.
If the product isn't good, I don't know what to tell you. One thing I can promise is that I will write an honest review. Make the expectations at this stage crystal clear so that no one is surprised by anything, and then follow through with it and hold to it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that sort of hit on, what we're going to move to with the next step. So that's pretty good segues, but we've still got Snob and Bloke I want to run through real quick. Snob, get your thoughts on, that final handshake, brokering that deal.
One thing I found is, to be really honest, like, there's a fly in here. He's landing on my face. Sorry.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah. To be really honest about like time frames and stuff like that, and don't promise, don't bite off more than you can chew with that particular thing too, as far as, when you're going into it and they're at the end of it, don't say, oh yeah, yeah, I'll have it out next week, if there's no way you can have it out next week.
Right.
But I think that's really all I've got that hadn't already been.
Done. Totally makes sense. Bloke, let you jump in, then we'll move on.
I haven't had that experience yet. Companies that I have worked with, it's been more on the kosher side. But for instance, if this deal goes through tomorrow and we shake hands over the phone or internet or however we go about doing it, I definitely believe in clear outlines, to understand what both parties expect. Because if you don't, and it goes haywire, then that kind of ruins your reputation already, these companies, it's a small world for them, and they meet each other at gun shows, and they see you and you did a really shitty job, then that spreads pretty quick. I really think a clear outline is very important. That's all I have to say.
And we moved into a good segue into what we're going to talk about, the final little step or final little topic in kind of this ladder of dealing with companies and relationships. But before we get to that, again, want to mention the YouTube and gun channel sides and the chats out there. And we've still got time. So if you've got nerdy questions of some sort, throw them out there. If you're in replay, comments are below. Love to hear from you. So the final thing is, we've run through all this stuff. The deal is sealed. This next thing is going to kind of hinge on that deal, right? What we can offer hinges on two things, really. Is what we can offer, and then, you know, what kind of deal that was brokered. And the final step is, you know, how do we go about the finished product and delivery with what that company might expect? In other words, are we going to, you know, what is your approach? Do you, you know, it's going to depend on the specific deal that's cut. So this is going to be a fairly generalized question. I understand that. And everybody here may have a little different answer. And that's great if you do, because there's multiple answers. But once that deal is brokered, how do we make sure that the expectations of that company are met, that we've maximized everything that we can do and we were supposed to do for that company? Ghost, we'll kick off with you.
No, that's an interesting question. And it's going to sound bad. I really don't think about that. I think that if you've done all of the prep work and all the relationship building, all that's happened before, I don't think that you have to worry about meeting expectations. If they didn't feel like you could do the job that would be beneficial for them, they wouldn't agree to the terms. So I don't put a whole lot into that. I mean, at that point, I will do the reviews or whatever. I've never, and all the stuff that have been sent to me, I've never once said, hey, I want you to do this, 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 or this. Now, I can sit there and say, I have these options available to you. I could have you on the podcast, I have a live show, I could do reviews, whatever. They say, hey, man, it's all good. We like what you're doing. Do what you want to do. That's how literally every single one of them has gone. Right. So I don't put too much into trying to live up to expectations, because if you're trying to do that, then you're not being who you are. And I think that they wouldn't send you that product if they didn't feel like you could do the job to begin with.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, again, it goes back into, you know, I guess what I was getting at is, do you go the extra mile? And it kind of depends. Again, it all hinges on that deal and what that deal was cut. Because you can say, well, okay, you got a deadline and we've got, you know, you want one piece of content within 90 days, or like you say, the podcast. And some of these companies, yes, they're putting their faith and their stock and their everything into you. They're not really putting it into the final product per se. So they're kind of leaving that under your creative control to do. But there's still, just like a lot of things out there, for me, it's still like, well, you know, I'm thinking about the things I can do with said product. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, if I do these things, they should be, you know, happy. Because, and I know this because of the relationship, like Ghost just mentioned, well, the relationship that you built. I know that if I do X, Y, and Z, they're going to be happy with that. So more of what I'm getting at, I guess, and Budget, I'll bring you in here, is execution of that X, Y, and Z, right? The execution of the delivery of that, whatever that deal might have been.
Well, you know, first things first, if you've already set forth what the expectations are, you had better make sure that you have done X, Y, and Z, if that's what you've promised. You get it done, you get it edited up, you get it posted, you get, you know, your review article written, if that's what you've promised that you would do as well. You collect together. What I do is I'll collect together links to all the things that I've done, and I'll shoot off an email to the person, to my contact person at the company, and say, hey, here's what I've done. Is there anything else that you think I need to do with this? Or is there anything else that you'd like to see me do further? Mm-hmm. and then go from there, depending upon what they say. So far, it's all been, man, that's great. Love what you did. So, you know, do what you promised you would do. Be a person of your word, and then show them. Ask them if they want anything else. So far, that's worked for me.
Yeah, and that's a consistent theme through all of the steps we've kind of went through tonight. It was just being real, being, you know, being honest, being professional, all that good kind of stuff. One of the things, Snob, I'm going to let you jump in here and touch on this particular topic. But one of the things is that Budget mentioned was, you know, emailing these companies. Is that something you do before you release the video, after you release the video? Does that kind of depend on the deal that was brokered?
I don't think I've ever really done any before I've released it. I always usually just send an email with a link to it as soon as I've released it. Now, some of them, like some booth interviews, I just, as soon as I got the video edited and done, even though it wasn't scheduled to be released, I went ahead and sent that. But as far as reviews, no, I don't think I ever sent it to them before I released the video.
Okay.
And then the only thing I have to add on, you know, that deal is under promise and over deliver, and you're usually in good shape.
Yeah, very true. Bloke, I'll let you jump in. And I know you haven't you're kind of working on your first deal, so you may not got enough much to add, but you may have some questions. So I'll still give you the floor at least for a little bit to chime in.
Thanks, Ben. No, you're right. I haven't had the first big deal yet. I have been listening to everyone's comments as far as whether they email or not. And that was actually going to be one of my questions, if they do email. I think it depends on the company too, you know. I really do. I mean, if it's a small company, you know, like a holster company that's just starting out, I like to be a little bit more personable. I am actually doing another one on a holster, actually. You know, I asked them what it exactly is the they want me to review as far as the company also, because I like to give a little bit of history about the company, and that's a new thing for me. So I think to ask for the highlights and, you know, to get the background of these people, I think that's important. That's all I have.
No, that's all good points. Giz. I'm going to bring Giz in. I'll bring G-Webs in. Let him play cleanup here. But Giz, I'll bring you in. Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground on you know, delivery of expectations and follow-up on emails. What's your methods and your thoughts on that?
You've definitely got to follow up on emails and stuff like that. And if it's a one-time thing you've done for people, like a lot of, say, from my interviews I've done at Wanamaker, I will touch base with them the next year and say, you know, were you happy with what we did last year? Would you like to do it again? That kind of thing. After a while, you develop a relationship and they'll see you coming and they smile and they know who you are and they're comfortable working with you and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And as far as, I guess I do kind of have a quasi-sponsor relationship with one company off our territory. And so it's just a matter of getting with them and saying, you know, are you happy with the exposure you're getting, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, it was really loosely, you know, specified. You know, I asked, you know, how do you want it promoted, et cetera, et cetera. And I was told not overly so, no co-sponsorship or anything, just mentions. And so I've always held my word to do that. And as far as I know, you know, I'm in constant communication with the sponsor there. So I think it's a good relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Clover, so, can I tell you something?
Yeah, come on.
I think that what you just said about going back and shaking hands and saying thanks and touching base with someone a year later is absolutely awesome. It's powerful. I did that this year at the USCCA Expo. I went back and touched base with some people I have previous relationships with, and that was, you know, the look on their face was just awesome to see that they're like, you know, they were so stoked that I stopped in and said hi. And, you know, you hit that on the head, Gary. That is a powerful thing to do. That's great.
Yeah, you've made that connection with them where they know you and they're comfortable with you.
So, G-Webs, I'm gonna bring you in to close out this part of it with, finishing up the relationship, you know, the expectations, what's next, pretty much what everybody on the panel so far has mentioned. You got anything to add or elaborate on?
Oh, and there's so many things. So I don't know. Keep in mind that sometimes people are going to come and then go, and then you guys kind of alluded to it before, people jump ship and go to other places. So as you accomplish stuff, success is an accomplishment, but it's not a ride. You have to always keep doing something. So whatever you get done with, use that as a step to the next thing.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So I'm going to, before we run this one through the room for plugs and all that, I'm going to open it up one last time. If anybody has anything to add, maybe there's something, maybe you've been making notes, maybe there's something that you wanted to mention at any step through this process of relationship with companies. Has anybody got anything else they want to add?
I'll add something real quick. Is just remember whenever you're doing this that all these companies have probably been burned more than once through this. So, you know, try to deliver on what you say so you're not one of them to burn them.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, I think we can talk about, Budget and I, back and forth through text the other night with the Amazon guy. I was contacted through my personal Facebook as well as the page by that guy, and he sent me a flashlight, and it was a flashlight that I've got two of the exact same flashlights. They're just not that brand. So I was like, okay, because, you know, I've got experience with them. They work great, but I've never beat the crap out of one. And I'm like, if he's going to send me one and I ain't got to pay for it, well, we're going to see how it really holds up. But Budget got that, had that guy, contacted the other night. And I noticed that there's been a lot of channels out there, that are doing stuff from that company. So they're really making their rounds. But and I totally got off track and forgot where I was, where I was going with that. So what did you say, Snob? Tell me what you said and let me get back.
Oh, over. Just about being companies being burned by people.
Oh, yeah. So Budget and I, thanks. I was thinking, man, he's going to tell me and I still ain't going to know. Yeah. Budget and I were talking, and it was one of them things where, oh, you know, and creators out there, they get this all the time where they're like, oh, go buy this on Amazon and we'll reimburse you. And it's like, no thanks. And so what I did is I told him, nah, I don't work that way. I got big companies that send me stuff all the time. It's like, I'm not paying to do your stuff. You know, I'm not working like that. And then I put a link to my channel, you know, in the message and sent it back to him, and his reply was, hey, give me your address and you know, I'll just send it to you. You know, and Budget and I were talking about this, and Budget was like, yeah, I know that scam. And jump in here, Budget, if you want to, but it's like, yeah, I know that scam. And I come back and I said, yeah, but think about these people that do that and they send stuff out that get burned as well. Think about the number of people that send stuff and then, and I know big creators that get stuff that do this, and I'm not going to mention any names because that's not what I do, but I know big creators that get stuff and then never put out one single piece of content on said stuff. So I can get the frustration from both sides.
Yeah. I actually did some digging on this guy, that you're talking about, and he's worked with a couple people that we know, and, they actually did the reimbursement thing, and he did follow through, and he seems to be legitimate on the up and up. So that one particular guy, but in general, I would, if I have never known, if I know, don't know anyone that's worked with him in the past and that he's actually followed through with and done what he said he would do, I would never think of doing that. If it's just some dude out of the blue, never.
Now, I got something to add to that. So recently, I got contacted by a floating rifle bag company that I'd never heard of off Amazon. They sent me a link to it, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, if you'll buy it. And I kind of talked to G-Webs about it. He's like, yeah, it's a thing. So I went ahead and did it. And the guy told me, he said he would send it to my PayPal before it even shipped from Amazon. Just as soon as I sent him an email with the order number, he'd send it. And I figured, well, I ain't got nothing to lose because I can cancel my order, you know, from Amazon. So that ain't no big deal. So I did it. Sure enough, within an hour of me ordering it, I had the money on my PayPal account. So,
yeah. But that's a, you know, that's also a wasted, it's a wasted effort. You know what I mean? I mean, because if he's going to send you that money back and then you get it and then you still don't do anything, you're still screwed. So it's a bunch of money swapping for no reason, in my opinion.
Well, this guy.
The reason is because Amazon values a purchase review more than a giveaway review. So if they have it at Amazon and they give it to you and you review it, it's not as much weight as if you buy it and then review it on Amazon as the purchaser. So that's the, it's not, a, I mean, there can be scams, but I mean, if it's a real company and like you say, you know, people that have worked with them, that's just a way to get a purchase on Amazon. And of course, all they're looking for really is an Amazon review. If you do a video, that's great. But these products, remember, have, I mean, has anybody watched that Shark Tank show? Products have like 70% markup sometimes, especially when you're getting it straight from a factory. So, you know, they don't care about the product. They're looking for those reviews. You need to get a bunch of them at once for your product to get like into Amazon's logarithm.
Yeah, that's what, that's why this guy, because he keeps telling me that, well, it'll be too slow if I just send it to you. It'll be too slow if I just send it to you. We need to get it faster. So I'm thinking that it, that's exactly right. They want to get a bunch of reviews from verified purchasers all at once to up the their Amazon's algorithm. I think that's exactly what that's about.
Yeah, because Amazon is the largest thing, right? The largest shop, so or merchant marketplace. So if they have anything they have, any product they have, if they can get Amazon to recommend it to people that are buying that kind of thing, they'll sell out, right? So they're done. Like as soon as you can get Amazon to go, oh, this is what people are looking for, you're done. So yeah, they're desperate. They're willing to give you the item for free. In fact, you could probably bug them for money if they're thinking out of nowhere you're worth it or something. But I don't know. I haven't really followed through on those. Back in the day when there was maybe fewer channels, I guess, or maybe we were just in a smaller community, we weren't paying attention to other people. But you know, things would go around and everybody would review them and it would be like you roll your eyes. And what would happen is you just didn't get any views on those videos. Now, they might be long tail. You know, you might get views in the future when somebody's looking up that thing for some reason, if, maybe. But what happens when everybody's reviews the same light, the same this, the same that? You know, one or two people get some views, and then people are sick of watching about that because it's all just the same thing, right?
And I'm glad we touched on that because
kind of like Olight these days.
Right. I'm kind of glad we touched on that because that's absolutely correct. And it never crossed my mind that there's a difference between a review and a purchased review. And they do hold different weight. I've actually had was it Cedar Mill Fine Firearms did a podcast with them and they actually talked about that. I wonder if they talked on air or off air. But they talked about Amazon and the way all that works.
So think about as a project and what you can offer someone is a coordinated or a insightful product reviews. You're not allowed to buy them or sell them, but you can offer that as part of your package, right? And one of the things I like to do is do my product reviews on Amazon Live and encourage others to remember that the product reviews are important. And when you really value a product, you know, I like to encourage people to use the Amazon review. So I do that live every Friday. And that's one of the things that I offer when you're working with me, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So does anybody else have anything to add to the whole conversation before we split?
I've got kind of a question. Yeah. And I've been getting this a lot, the stupid Amazon stuff. And it'll be stuff that has no really anything to do with my channel. And I'll get emails and I'll be like, you know, no, not interested. And it'll just continue. I mean, I've got like 5 emails from the same thing about the off-road lights for a truck. Like my channel, you know, I don't mind having them, but I'm not doing a video on them because it has nothing to do with me. And I'm like, no, thanks. No, thanks. No, thanks. Finally, I told them, send me 3 sets. And then they quit emailing me. But does anybody else deal with that? Like, how do you deal with that whenever they're trying to get you to do stuff and they just won't quit?
That's exactly the way to deal with it, because then they either send you 5 or they leave you alone. Because that's literally how you do it.
Right. Yep. Well, cool. Anybody else? Now, River holds your peace.
Yep. I have nothing else to add to that.
All right. So let's run this one through the room and get the heck out of here. Bloke, we're going to start on your end, man. Plug what you want to plug, promote what you want to promote, or just bloviate for a minute.
Sure, man. Oh, well, I appreciate the invite. Always great company on here. I learned a lot every time I join you guys. My YouTube channel is Blokes 2 Cents. I'm on a bunch of different platforms now. Instagram, Patreon, GunTube, GunStreamer. The idea here is to raise awareness for children with disabilities and fund those charitable foundations. And through that, we do full autos, reviews, and, you know, gun paraphernalia and stuff like that. So give us a check out and subscribe to everybody else too.
Ghost.
I just want to say happy Independence Day. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read an excerpt of a letter that John Adams sent to his wife, Abigail, on July 3rd, 1776. Remember, the original Independence Day was July 2nd. But here it is. This is the little excerpt. It says, "But the day is past. The second day of July 1776 will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shoes, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other from this time forward forevermore." You don't think these guys were forward-thinking guys in 1776? You're crazy. These guys were amazing individuals, and we should never forget the forefathers. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. He mentioned the entire continent, didn't he? When there was
yes, he did. Yes, he did.
So he knew that it was
free. Not just the 13 colonies.
Yep. Awesome. Good stuff. Gizzard, what you got, bud?
Well, thank you for the invite. Check out my website, that is gizzardgary.com. As far as my shows coming up, tomorrow night, Friday night, Foul Territory, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. And Sunday morning, we will have the Early Bird Chat. That is at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. And thanks for the invite.
You bet. G-Webs, what you got going on?
Thanks for the show. Just individual freedom and liberty.
There you go. And Clash Patch Patch, getting close. So I know Gizzard's throw several links out there in the side chat. So check that out. I'm not in on it yet, but I will be. Budget, what you got?
First off, as always, thanks for the invitation to this show. I think you do a valuable service to the Second Amendment community and content creators by posting this show. That being said, I hope everybody had a happy Independence Day. And you guys can check me out here on YouTube at Budget Guns and Gear Reviews, on GunStreamer and GunTube and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. I'm Budget Guns and Gear. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, my live stream, The Right of the People, will be on. So please come check that out while it's still at 7 p.m. Here sometime August, maybe early September, it will be moving to 11:30 p.m. on a more or less permanent basis as I transfer my shifts permanently. But for now, for tomorrow, 7 p.m. So I'll see you guys then. Thanks, Clover.
Nice, you bet. And yeah, this show apparently is so popular that some bloke out there on the internet, I won't, he'll remain nameless. We'll just say some bloke on the internet has apparently copied it to his channel now. So, yeah, crazy, man. Crazy how that works out. So, Snob, what you got, bud?
I got stuff and things going on, you know.
Stuff and things.
Gotcha. Stuff and things, yeah. I'm on all the relevant platforms and some irrelevant platforms and all that. Find me. Check me out. I'm probably not going to be around much more this weekend because I'm going to the lake and internet is not there.
There you go.
Thanks for having me. Enjoyed the show.
No, you bet. Couple things before I get out of here. I'm always worth mentioning clovertech.com because that's where you can keep up with all the platforms we're on and all the things that we're doing and the swag store and you name it. I want to mention the Fire and Friday podcast tomorrow. That'll release bright and early, may even be today for some of you folks out there, but that'll release bright and early and then kind of migrate from podcast form to videos throughout the day. We had Mark from Fit and Fire on and man, cool conversation with him. Kind of a conversation there at some point that'll even pull on your heartstrings a little bit, maybe. So definitely want to check that out, whether you're familiar with Fit and Fire or not. Check that out. It was a great conversation. And then don't forget every Wednesday, the Next Generation, Season 2 of The Next Generation is back. So that premiered last night and will happen every Wednesday for the next 12, 13, 14, something like that, weeks. So jump on and support the shooting sports competitors, youth shooting sports competitors that we have on that particular podcast. With that said, that will do it for Talking Nerdy this week. We will catch you guys next week. Stay nerdy. Bye.